Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
He shouldn't get to control the mute buttons when he's doing it.
Yeah.
I don't even understand what's going on.
Unless he double checks it to unmute it properly.
I got a little button crazy there.
Yeah. Getting carried away over there.
Yeah.
Might have to call in the producer.
No, not the producer. It's Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Carry on, my wayward son. Why don't you get your ass off the couch and get a damn job?
Wow.
Hippie.
Those are not the lyrics.
It's the lyrics for the Guar cover.
Oh.
Carry on.
You would know that if you were at the Guar concert.
No, you would know that if you saw.
I actually didn't even go. This was all a joke, a lie.
If you saw Guar's appearance on the AV Club, where they actually cover that song. If you've never seen it, you should look that up.
Wait, are you familiar with NPR's Little Desk?
Yes, Tiny Desk.
Tiny Desk.
Guar did Tiny Desk.
Hilarious.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the best Tiny Desk ever,
yeah,
in my opinion. And I've seen a bunch. Snarky Puppy did
Desk. Really enjoy those. I hate NPR. That's the only thing they do that's
Tiny
good.
Desk is like, yeah, you're right. That's the only thing that they do that's worthy. Free Talk Live listeners, we are asking you for a favor. As you perhaps already know, Ian Freeman, the founder of this show, was recently convicted of various victimless crimes and is facing up to 20 years in prison. We can argue all day as if the jury was mistaken, but that's not going to get us anywhere. What will be helpful is for you to write a letter to the Honorable Joseph LaPlante about Ian's character, how he has helped you or the community, and why you think he deserves a light sentence. Mentioning things about yourself that give your opinion weight with government would be helpful, such as if you've held an office, if you've had a career, if you volunteer, if you're a former military. These are things that would be worthy of mentioning. Ian is a selfless guy that has always tried to do what he thinks is the right thing, and it would be a tragedy if he had to spend any time in prison at all. We need these letters quickly, so don't put it off. Send your letter for Ian Freeman to 63 Emerald Street, number 610, Keene, New Hampshire, 03431. If you didn't get to write all that down, it's okay. All the info you need is at letters.freetalklive.com. That's letters.freetalklive.com. All right. When we last left our heroes, we were speaking with Jerkface McEffingstash.
And you wanted a reminder to ask a question. I don't remember the question, but I remember the reminder.
We were talking...
Very helpful.
World Market.
Yeah, Jerkface was talking about Reputation Wallet.
Okay.
And we had questions about what is that and how does that work. And you were talking about how Reputation Wallets and the Chinese social credit app are, you believe, the same thing, or at least the backbones are identical, and one leads to the other. So I wanted to ask Richie Rich specifically and then let Jerkface retort. What about on, the Silk Road when they had the reputation scores for each of the sellers? So if I were selling, drugs on the black market, and a number of people would patronize my store, and when I delivered quality product on time at a reasonable price, they would rate me higher than, arguably, other sellers. So how do you see that fitting in versus the wallet version of reputation?
Generally, so individual things like that, I'm probably okay with, right? Like eBay feedback, the Silk Road reputation, however that's worded.
Right, because the Silk Road thing was based on eBay, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So they literally copied the eBay reputation system.
Yeah, and I know if I'm buying something off of Amazon, I mean, the quality that you can get varies on, you know, similar products. So I always look at those reviews to make sure I'm not buying something that sucks.
Right. But the global reputation score, reputation rating, reputation wallet, Chinese credit score, like, is global across multiple industries.
I guess
it follows you every
day. Yeah, it is tied to the individual instead of, like, the business, I guess, would be the
difference. The business, right? Or the account. Right, like if your reputation goes to pot on eBay or Silk Road, right, you're like, screw that, I'm going to sign up for a new account and start over again.
Right.
Right. And then maybe the worst thing that happens in that case, right, is because you don't have a reputation, you don't make as much money.
Right.
Right. So there's a consumer feedback mechanism in there, which is, well, this dude doesn't have a reputation, I'm not willing to risk as much money buying from him as I would spend more money for someone with a better reputation.
Right. So I think you've answered my question within that thinking that, like, your eBay reputation doesn't carry over to Amazon. Your Amazon reputation doesn't carry over to any other platform. They're platform specific.
Yeah. And I had an old boss and friend who did the eBay thing on the side.
Yeah.
And for like 1 month, he was in the midst of a divorce.
Yeah.
With his wife.
Yeah.
And shipped out nothing, right?
Poor guy.
And then he got it all together and, you know, sent everything out,
yeah.
Right? But for that month, he went from, you know, 100% feedback down to like 70% feedback because he just didn't do anything for a month,
right?
Right? And then, you know, if that had carried with him everywhere else he went,
right? Yeah.
Right? It would be harmful to his recovery,
right?
Whereas just going like, okay, I made good, and, you know, over time my reputation will rebuild. And only specific to eBay seems more reasonable to me.
Let's get Jerkface's thoughts.
Yeah, on the Silk Road, it was devastating for a seller to lose their account. So if they were wiped out and they were banned from the site, they had to start over from the beginning. It was really hard to recover from that because it takes so long to get people to trust you on the dark market and the reputation thing. The good thing is that on the Silk Road, trust was like the main concern between sales. So the Silk Road held your Bitcoin in escrow until the product reached the buyer.
Right.
And that made it a lot better. But, yeah, it was absolutely devastating for a seller to have their accounts wiped out off those platforms, without a doubt, how long it takes to build reputation in those kind of situations.
So even in that situation, right, like I've been scammed on eBay out of like an iPad, right, because it was a good deal. Mm-hmm. I bought it. They shipped it. I got the ship notification, said it was being held at the post office. Never got delivered to me. I went down to the post office. Post office said, that tracker is not associated with your name. We can't give you the package. Right.
Bombs.
Oh, wow.
But I went through eBay's protocol to get my money back. So I didn't lose anything, and I don't know what happened to that seller.
Yeah.
Right. But if Silk Road's like holding it in escrow, and the guy goes, no, man, I put it in the box. The box had a tracker. Tracker said it was delivered. And the buyer goes, I didn't receive anything.
Right.
Well, then what happens? Now we have a dispute that we need to resolve, right?
Yeah, Silk Road usually dealt with those disputes. And I'm not really sure on how they decided. I'm sure a conversation took place and they made a decision one way or another to release the Bitcoin back to the buyer or to the seller.
And if they release it back to the buyer, right, who received the product, pretended like he didn't get it because of the situation I just described, but in the reverse, right, and gets his Bitcoin back, then the seller is screwed.
Yeah, this same thing happens with these third-party ticket resale places like StubHub,
yeah,
for example. And without naming names, somebody recently had this happen where he sold some tickets to somebody and sent them, you know, mailed them out, whatever. And then that person said, oh, we never got them.
Yep.
And so this person, you know, a smarter person, you know, gathered some evidence, asked them to collect the logs of when they scanned the tickets for entry. And they could see that the tickets that he sent to this buyer were used at a completely different time than when he used his tickets, right? Because he bought, let's say, 4 tickets. So him and his other party went in, you know, at, I don't know, 6 p.m., and these other tickets were scanned, like, at 7:30 p.m. So you could tell that there were two different points of entry, that he himself didn't use the tickets, that somebody else used them. And so then, of course, the event had, you know, cameras and all that kind of stuff that they could, you know, take advantage of if they wanted to. So they're able to pretty easily resolve that dispute. So that happens regardless of system. But what I want to know, Jerkface and Richie Rich and you too, Nikki.
Like, yeah, whoever you are.
Forgot her name for a second.
What's your name again? How does this tie into reputation wallets? Anyone? Bueller?
Well, Jerkface first, because he's more familiar with
the wallets. Oh, yeah. Well, for me, like, if I were a cosplaying leftist, like, I would want, like, people to be more carbon-free and be more charitable and stuff like that, and they build their reputation like that, as well as through transactions and disputes and, you know, just generally being a good citizen. Now, like, the anarchist me rejects that, like, wholeheartedly because I think those people are nuts, but they have every right to do whatever they want, you know, like, and I can see how that system would be very desirable to the leftists. As far as rightists, they probably just want honest businessmen, right? Like people who deliver their product on time when they say they're going to do it, exactly how they described it, and they just want to see that repeated over and over and over again. And I think that kind of goes for the free market in general.
Yeah, but if you have leftists and rightists on the system, right, those leftists are going to target a rightist, right? And just right. like they do on Twitter, or whatever the term for Twitter bombing him, right? Just with bad reviews, negative reviews, bring down his reputation to whatever, because he didn't conform with their societal goals of being more carbon neutral.
Yeah, I mean, and we've already seen that on social media, where they'll pick a celebrity who, like, I'll pick that country song that people, you know, all the
out
leftists,
of my small town.
Yeah, they're up in arms about it. So. I mean, they're slandering him all over the internet for something that, I mean, I saw it. It doesn't look racist to me, but whatever. So they're kind of getting this, like, mob mentality to, like, try to take this guy out and ruin his life. I mean, we're already seeing that happening on social media.
And now it's a part of the permanent record like on the blockchain.
To everybody?
What was that?
Doesn't the leftist slander bomb look like it's backfiring on everything they do? Like whenever they come at, I think Jason Aldean,
that's him.
Yeah.
He used a song about try this in a small town or whatever like that, and it hit number one on the charts, and it's still number one.
Yeah.
The same thing with the Sound of Freedom, and it just seems to be backfiring on the leftists to go ahead and reputation bomb somebody.
Ten years from now, when no one remembers this event,
right,
and Jason Aldean's reputation score is still low. Because it's on the blockchain forever, right? Then what? No one's going to look at the history and be like, oh, yeah, this is because of the bombing, the leftist bomb from 10 years ago.
I still think that the market will figure out a way to sort it out between the leftists and rightists when they do reputation bombing.
So I do have a problem with
each other.
I do have a problem with Jason Aldean. And it really has nothing.
The
like,
song sucks?
Like,
Is it just country music?
I mean, perhaps, but that's not what the answer is here. So I also do music. What I never do is make somebody else's song, because I'm a songwriter, and he didn't even write this song. So there's all this kerfluffle. About a song that this guy didn't even write.
Yeah.
He can't even write his own frickin' songs. Screw that guy. Crank some Captain Kickass instead.
But that is a good point. Yeah, they're all up in arms about his lyrics that he didn't even write.
It wasn't all the lyrics. It was the video that accompanied it.
Whatever.
Yeah, which I still watched it, and I was like, well, I don't understand what's racist about this. And then everyone on Twitter was like, well, it's blatantly obvious, so if you don't see it, then you must have a lot of racism yourself that you have to unpack. And so, I'm like, okay, well, thanks for not helping at all.
Let me briefly explain it to you,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, thank you.
A lot of the footage that he used was from Black Lives Matter protests, where they were burning and looting.
I mean,
and then he started it,
well, it was just
on the steps of a courthouse that's famous for lynching a black dude.
Yeah, so that's definitely not cool.
Well,
so
no.
Like, dude, you're doing a video about like anti-black protests on a courthouse steps where they lynch a black
dude. What happened here is that this is just good marketing.
Okay.
That's all that it is. The extreme always seems to make an impression. Whoever the production team was on this music video was like, we got to make a video that
we're going to piss off the left.
Yeah.
And rally the right.
And that's exactly what they did. It created all this kerfluffle to a point. I had no idea who this loser was, right? This Jason Aldean guy.
I had no idea.
And, yes, I don't like country music, to answer the question earlier.
I like country music, generally old stuff.
I really don't. There's only a handful of, like, country, Johnny Cash and the Charlie Daniels Band.
David Allan Coe. All right.
Not so much.
All right.
But my point is that this guy is modern country pop. Yep. Right, he's not outlaw country, right?
No.
He's not like a Waylon Jennings or anything like that.
Yeah, this ain't no Willie Nelson.
Yeah, it's none of that. He's country pop is what he is. He can't even write his own frickin' song, and his marketing team did a great job producing a video that was controversial, that did more for his career than any other single piece of marketing he has ever put out.
I think I also have another thing that I didn't like about him. On Twitter, he made a post trying to appease to the left and was like, oh, I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, you cannot reason with these people, and you trying to, and you know, it shows that you kind of don't have a backbone. And I mean, it's
a good
way
to lose your base.
Well, and that's the thing. So it's one thing to be like, hey, this video isn't racist. I don't know what you're talking about. To make the statement like, hey, I was not intending for, like, I'm not racist, wasn't intending for it to be perceived this way, whatever. But to, like, the way he did it was, I think, in poor taste, and it made me lose respect for him, because I'm like, you have these crazy people who are obviously insane.
Yeah.
And, like, don't even try to argue with them. Like, it's a waste of time, and your actual fans, like, the people who actually probably might be racist, aren't going to like that.
Jerkface?
Culture war is extremely unreasonable. I try to stay the heck away from those crazy people as it is, but going back to the reputation wallet and trying to figure out how does the market adopt a reputation wallet where we can trust each other in e-commerce and doing trade all the time, is there a way of doing that? Do you guys have any other ideas on how to expand that? Skeeter's got a ton of them he's putting in the comments over here.
Start face to face.
It was a really great concept, but I know no one's going to adopt what he wants because the rest of the world doesn't want what Skeeter wants. Skeeter just has this thing in his head. It's got to be that way, or, you know, the world ends.
Start local. Start face to face. Branch out from there. If there's stuff that needs importing, right, find a reputable importer who does more than just the one thing.
Sounds good to me. Hey, Jerkface.
Thank you
for the call, man. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Let's go to, I believe this is Robert. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi. Before you were talking about the difference in, you know, you walk across a piece of property with two sticks, and if they change a little bit, then you think that there could be water down below.
Divining rods, yes.
Okay, so what you're really measuring is you're measuring very, very slight changes, or at least trying to measure very slight changes in the in gravitation. That would be right. That would be a correct. My assumption would be correct, right?
So gravitation or magnetics?
Yeah, right? I would think it would be variations in the magnetic field that the Earth is constantly, you know, emitting.
Okay, the rods are made out of metal, or are they made out of wood?
Metal.
I see. I didn't understand it because I've heard of people doing it with wood. Does everybody do it with metal, or do some people do it with wood as well?
I
think the wood is in the cartoons.
Yeah, the only time that I've seen it was literally, I want to say, like a coat hanger type of material, right? It was just long pieces of, you know, imagine a coat hanger just, you know, straightened out completely, no bumps or anything in it. And then at the end, it had like a little bend, a 90-degree bend, so you could just hold it in your hand, like finger guns almost. And so you just put that in your hands, and you hold two of them sort of parallel to each other loosely, and then you walk across the plot of land, and as you discover a disturbance in the force, or whatever it is, the magnetosphere or the gravitational pull, the rods will pull together or move apart. And sometimes, depending on the strength, like I've been told that sometimes they will even spin. if you're holding them in your hands, depending on how strong the force is. I've never witnessed that. I just witnessed them move, you know, a few degrees one way or the other when the guy was holding them.
The midichlorian count of your water source.
Yeah, right. See, I was picturing tuning forks.
Yeah, slightly different. Slightly different.
Robert?
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, you know, if you measure gravitational force, I know varies from place to place. There is a difference in gravitational force. So, and I didn't know whether you were measuring gravitational force with those things or if you measure magnetic.
Again, it's voodoo because you're not measuring anything. You just got two rods in your hand, and when they cross, there's supposedly water there. And then you dig a hole by however many tens of feet deep, and then if you're lucky, you hit water. If you don't, you go, oh, man, I got to use that rod again, and then you walk another 50 yards someplace else and try it again.
Well, and the same thing occurs that you just described using, you know, equipment, electronic equipment.
Okay.
That is supposed to, you know, be able to, you know, sonar-like shoot something down into the earth and tell you where the water table might be, and, you know, then you drill a hole and nothing's there.
But humans being electrical sources and being the ground as the majors, you know, said it, it's just a more simplified version of the complex equipment.
Sounds like it. Robert?
Yes, I see. Well, I was thinking of gravitational force, and I just wanted you to know that in terms of gravitational force, gravitation actually is made out of photons. Photons are massless subatomic particles, just like, I mean, photons and gravitons have that in common, but gravitons can are responsible for gravitational force and photons for light and also radio signals, RF, that kind of thing. So there's a major difference between what they do, but their propagational characteristics have a lot of similarity. As a matter of fact, that's how we discovered that that gravitons are actually traveling as well in deep space, not only photons, but gravitons as well, because Albert Einstein predicted that 100 years ago, but he said we'd never be able to detect it. But the way we detect it is we had receiving stations in different places on Earth. We detected a very slight difference in time when they reached the different stations that it was the same signal. And that's how we knew that gravitational force, that gravitons were doing the same thing and that we were receiving them from deep space. And I just thought to myself, I didn't know, I was trying to figure out in my mind if you were dealing with gravitons, gravitational force, but.
I don't know, to tell you the truth, and if there's anybody out there who does know, 603-283-6160.
I've got a quick headline for you, Robert, before we let you go, and maybe you can stick around and comment on it. This is not the number two story, but here you go. Germans have a moral obligation to sacrifice living standards and wealth, claims their Green Party MP.
Robert, stand by. We'll bring you back. 603-283-6160. We'll get Robert's response to this headline when we have more show. 603-283-6160, 3Talk5.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News update, the suspect in Friday night's shooting that left two Orlando police officers hospitalized was killed during a shootout with SWAT officers. 28-year-old Dalton Veal was taken down hours after allegedly shooting the officers in downtown Orlando. The officers are expected to recover. In sports, Team USA goes down in defeat.
There will be no third straight World Cup championship for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. The U.S. fell to Sweden on penalty kicks today. Neither team could score through the 90 minutes of regulation play and 30 minutes of extra time.
Scott Carr reporting, severe thunderstorms could blast parts of the country, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, and Nashville, to name a few. And heavy thunderstorms are forecasted to blow across the central plains and Ohio Valley. This comes after tornadoes were reported across several states on Saturday. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite works working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Six zero three two eight three six one six zero. That's the phone number here at Free Talk Live. We'll get to your calls and thoughts momentarily. You had a something for Robert.
Hang on.
Before we go there, I have to say thank you to Dave.
Already off to a good start, folks.
Hi, I'm your host, the Captain, and in the studio it's
Mickey
and Richie Rich.
I have to say thank you to David R. Jeffries. David R. Jeffries is a platinum amplifier. What does that mean? Well, there's this thing called amps.freetalklive.com, or as we refer to it, the Amplifier Program. It's a way for you, the listener, to help spread the message of freedom, peace, liberty, and prosperity that we bring to you here on Free Talk Live, and help us get on more radio stations and otherwise advertise, market, promote, and support this show. We only ask for $5, and if you go to amps.freetalklive.com, you'll see it's a Patreon-type setup, and you get some things for your donation. You can give more than $5. David R. Jeffries is a platinum subscriber, and that means he gives, I believe, $25 per month to help advertise, market, and promote and support this show. So thank you, David R. Jeffries. If you would like to become an amplifier, visit amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. All right, let's bring Robert back on. All right, so read this headline again for people who are just tuning in, because I want to hear the headline.
So I found this headline. We don't have to get into the article, but it made me think of you, and so I set it off to the side. Germans have a moral obligation to sacrifice living standards and wealth, claims their Green Party MP. Now, I know Robert's a big fan of Germans, the German way, and Germany, Germany, Germany.
German chocolate cake.
Sure. But why are they being asked to sacrifice their living standards and wealth as a moral obligation?
Well, Germans certainly feel that moral obligation, no question about that. And Germans contribute significantly to the rest of the world, and most people have no idea how much, because Germans send engineers right out into the field and show people how to do things. They don't write a check for $1 billion and then have some nasty dictator put half of it in a Swiss bank account and the other half buy weapons to hold this population under control. Germans send, they have the Deutsche Hilfsdienst, which means the German Helping Service, and they send out engineers to show them how to clean water, for example. They send clear plastic bottles. You just put the water in the clear plastic bottles and put it out in the hot sun, and it purifies the water. It's almost like free purification. Little things like that can make a huge difference.
Okay.
And Germans are very, very conscious of that.
I don't feel like he's answered the question.
Well, so let's just take his answer ever so briefly and suggest that in a free market, right, which we know we don't have, if you were providing that level of value, you would be receiving more value per our earlier discussion, right? Like if you were providing this level of service to the rest of the world, you would be getting something in return and would not then need to lower your living standards and wealth for the vast majority of the Germans there.
Well, Germans believe in doing it. And this is, I'm also half Jewish. I mean, I know about Jewish philosophy, and the Jewish philosophy is, and a lot of Germans go that by that because Germany is heavily influenced by the Jewish philosophy because we're actually part Jewish in a kind of a way. I can tell you why how that turned out to be 1600. But anyhow, what we do is we have that same philosophy. In other words, you contribute all you can and have it so that it doesn't negatively affect you. In other words, there are lots and lots of ways you can help people without it bringing you down.
Well, this one is actually being told to bring it down. Right? Well, the Green Party MP is saying lower your living standards and be less wealthy.
Well, Germans have factories and sales offices all over the world to manufacture all kinds of products. And a lot of people from all over the world work in German factories. Here in South Carolina, we have BMW, the largest BMW plant in the world. The other day, Volkswagen decided to invest $4 billion near Columbia to build a huge factory there. We have Mercedes-Benz here in the Charleston area. Volvo came in, and they're not too far away. Actually, they're in North Charleston. So a little bit north of North Charleston, and Germans provide work for people all over the world. They raise the living standard by giving people work and giving them a future and help them with education. As a matter of fact, one time I think it was gone.
So why would it be moral for them to lower their living standard?
And well,
you can do all. The best way to do it is to dovetail. In other words,
I'm not asking how. I'm asking why. Why would it be moral for anyone, much less the German people, to lower their living standard because a politician said so?
You should do it without lowering your living standards. You don't have to lower your living standards. You live normally. I mean, Germans live normally. My relatives in Germany, they live normally. They don't overspend or anything.
Well,
like
they're being asked to lower their standard of living by this guy. Who's this guy?
The Green Party MP.
Well, there might be some younger Germans who are living it up a little bit, but Germans in general are very, very cautious when it comes to giving out money. They get the max. They get the best for less. You know, that's
every single
that's
German.
Yes, Germans are almost every single German. Yeah, I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find exceptions. Let me put it that way.
Hey, Robert, thank you for the call. We appreciate you. I find it difficult to believe anyone who claims to speak on the behalf of, you know, all people of a certain area.
Well, he's our token German guy, so.
And he's also Jewish, so, you know, we got that going for us, which all is right. Nice. Let's move on. I think we've got Tim in Florida.
Wooden
Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
Wooden doors.
Hey, guys. Gals. Hey. Guys. So I've got three alphabet agencies here, NCBI, NLN, NIH. So we've got National Institute of Health.
What were
National
the other ones?
Library of Medicine.
National Library
National
of Medicine.
National Center for Biotechnology Information.
Okay.
And,
what do you mean there? They're in the room with you right now?
No, well, kind of. I've got a website. It's www.ncbi.nln.nih.gov, and they've got articles there. They've got one from 2006 called Swine Flu Influenza A Outbreak, Fort Dix, New Jersey, 1976. And people should check it out. They okay. actually refer to
the Can you summarize it for the listeners who will not go check it out?
Yeah, why should somebody go check it out? What's important there? Why should somebody go and check it out?
Well, so the abstract, basically, number one, they don't know where it came from. To this day, the CDC doesn't know actually where it came from. Although it was an outbreak at Fort Dix, New Jersey, in early 1976, and they call it the novel A / New Jersey / 76 HSV-1N1 influenza virus caused a severe respiratory illness in 13 soldiers with one death at Fort Dix. Okay, so I'm just going to fast forward. This is 1976, and Gerald Ford was president, and he basically attempted to vaccinate 100% of the population. I don't know if he was successful. I was born in 1979. I just found out about this, and I'm just wondering, anybody in the audience that I know it's almost the end of the show, but anybody in the audience that knows anything about this, what happened? Was everyone forcefully vaccinated, or was there resistance?
What do you mean, like the entire country forcefully vaccinated, or
yeah.
the military?
Gerald Ford was trying to vaccinate the entire country, from what I understand. But
I mean,
I could be wrong.
That would be impossible because there's always been a lot of like religious folks who don't take any vaccines at all. And back in the 70s, they didn't. I know we always see those articles about like, oh, they're putting the vaccines in the lettuce and they're spraying it into the air. There was really nothing like that in the 70s. So I would just think that to even vaccinate most of the population would be pretty impossible.
I was born in 72 and I don't remember getting any immunization shots until I was 7, maybe, something like that. So it wasn't even like a thing that people did at like childbirth, which they do now apparently in some hospitals.
Yeah.
It was also a lot less.
And it
was like three.
Yeah, mumps, MMR was the big one. Mumps, measles, and rubella. That was it.
And now there's like hundreds.
Yeah, now there's like, and you got to go through a series of these shots.
Right.
You got to get one, and then there's like TB, and then there's, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff that they want to give you too. So my guess here, Tim, is that what we saw with COVID isn't the first time they tried what they tried. It sounds to me like they at least tried it once before in 1976.
Yep.
Yep.
Also, in I believe it was 2009, they tried it with swine flu again.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that because what was the other one? The bird flu?
In the Ebola?
I remember the Ebola scare.
Ebola was actually crazy, though.
Yeah.
Like that was really bad.
Well,
not in the United States, in Africa.
Yeah.
Right. And if COVID was that bad in the United States, I don't think you would have seen as much protest.
No.
Right? I'm like, sign me up.
Yeah.
Because that looks a lot worse than just a cough for 2 weeks.
Right. Tim?
Anyway, I'm gonna go ahead and drop off the air here. I don't know if you got time for any more callers, but if anyone knows anything about that, I'm trying to find out everything I can.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tim. We'll let you know. Let's move right along. Let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, yes. I have a big accomplishment. We're going to improve the safety of our Louisiana street, and I've been working on it for like maybe 10 years.
What's your big accomplishment?
Louisiana street in New Mexico.
Right. So I used to live there, by there, and crossed it many, many, several times. And
they're finally putting in a rainbow crosswalk.
Well, it's going to be narrow to two lanes from four car lanes, widened sidewalk, widened, put bicycle paths and put median pedestrian refugees or something along the
lines. Sounds like all homeless people in New Mexico.
Refugees.
Pedestrian refugees.
Yeah, pedestrian refugees. Yes. What it means is you have a little island that's cut out. You could stand in the middle and just cross one side of the street.
Oh, okay.
And you're able to cross the other side. That's why they call it a pedestrian refuge.
So it's a new place for homeless people to stand to.
Hey, we have those here.
Yeah.
They stand with their signs and, like, sit on the milk crate or whatever.
I love the ones that stand in front of the sign that says, don't pay panhandlers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's always good. So what was your big accomplishment, Sarah?
She just told you. Put that
We're going to have...
How did you accomplish that? Wasn't that, done by the state or something?
They were discussing about this, and I went to many meetings in that area asking about how they're going to improve it. So I've seen many, pictures that was put on, several diagrams or futuristic pictures of what they're going to do, how they're going to improve it.
So you didn't actually build the thing?
Well, she petitioned for government for 10 years.
Right. But so you went to some meetings, and now you feel like you accomplished this thing?
We the people, Captain.
Let her answer.
Yeah, I was a part of it because I was there at several meetings with the city engineers on how they want to improve the street, and I had some say-so. And so I'm just really happy, even though I don't live in that area. I shop there, so I wander around there.
All right.
So that's the biggest accomplishment.
Well, hey, congratulations. Right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, 10 years.
Free Talk Live, what's your name, please? Free Talk Live. Hello? You're on the air. Caller going once. Caller going twice. All right, give us a call back. I believe, who that was. I was trying to get them on because of that. But if you can hear me, caller, who just was not available, give us a call back in the next 2-3 minutes. So what were we talking about? Oh, we got to get to the number two story.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the number two story.
The number two story.
It's from RT. Diarrhea strikes at World Triathlon Championships.
That sounds terrible.
Wait till you hear how many.
Seawater samples showed concentrations of E. coli 39 times greater than normal levels.
It sounds like a lot.
Sounds like somebody spiked the swimming area with E. coli.
Code brown, code brown.
They played the brown note, that's for sure. At least 57 competitors.
They're just drinking poo water after running before jumping on a bicycle.
This is like Woodstock 99 all over again.
This is different than the brown acid.
No, yeah.
At least 57 competitors at the World Triathlon Championships in Sunderland, England, contracted illnesses, including diarrhea, after taking part in sea swimming events last weekend, health officials have said. The championships, which feature around 2,000 triathletes last Sunday.
Okay, so only a small percentage.
Included a swimming stage at Sunderland's Roker Beach, a section of coastline which has been at the center of controversy, or controversy, depending on...
It's in England. You said it right the first time.
Regarding the dumping of raw sewage by water companies. The UK Health Secrecy Security Agency, UKHSA, said that it is testing samples from competitors who fell ill to determine if common pathogens can be identified. So, let's just stop there for a second. You're a triathlete?
I am not a triathlete.
No,
okay. You made eye contact.
Follow along with the thing here, Rich.
All right.
It's not necessary to, jump in every second, but, imagine you're a triathlete.
That's better.
And you're competing in this competition, and you got sick.
Yep.
Now you got to give these people a sample so they can determine what you've suffered from. Like, that's just like adding injury to insult.
Just knowing, right, that it's from drinking the poo water in stage two. It should be very, very off-putting.
Stage two.
Yeah.
Or number two.
What's, yeah. It's, isn't it usually stage two, right? You run, you jump in the water, then you ride the bike to the finish. Okay.
Yeah, I would.
I don't know how these things work.
All right. Call in if you've ever run a triathlon.
I am no triathlete.
Okay.
In fact, I'm no athlete. Okay. An analysis of the seawater at Roker Beach by the UK's Environment Agency 3 days before the race found the water to have a concentration of E. coli 39 times greater than the samples taken the previous month. E. coli is a bit... Yeah, we know what E. coli is.
So they ran the event after knowing the samples were spiked.
Did they know, or was this after?
No. Well,
you just said 3 days before the event.
Yeah, they took samples of the water in which they swam and found that the E. coli content was 39 times greater than the previous month.
So, yeah, so you'd think that they'd be like, maybe not.
Maybe we cancel that reschedule stage, something.
Have been feeling pretty rubbish since the race, triathlete Jacob Britwhistle. His name is Britwhistle.
It's a very British name.
Wrote on Instagram of the findings of the analysis, according to The Guardian on Saturday. Well, I guess that's what happens when you swim in shh. That word. The word that starts with shh.
Man,
my mate won't even kiss me no more.
Another triathlete responded to the post, "That now explains why I spent Monday night with my head in the toilet after I raced on Sunday morning." Northumbrian Water, the company that provides water and sewage services to 2.7 million people in England's northeast, including Sunderland,
denied any wrongdoing,
said that it had not recorded any raw sewage discharge, which might have affected water quality. "We have had no discharges from any of our assets that might negatively impact water quality at Roker since October 2021.
So 39% of whatever they measured just in a 1 month just happened to get in there, and it wasn't from the company that runs the pipes out there.
Sure.
Was it the triathletes who were all just taking a moment while swimming to, you know, relieve themselves during the event?
I mean, if these guys were in the back of the pack, then maybe, right? Because then you're swimming, right through, like, 2,000 other people.
The human centipede stuff. Got him.
I've seen all three of those.
British Triathlon, meanwhile, said it is collaborating with Sunderland City Council and the UK HSA to determine the cause of the various illnesses that emerged following the race. Several factors, including sewage overflows and runoff water from nearby roads and fields, can negatively impact water quality in affected areas.
Blaming the cows. It's cow poop.
Yeah.
From the nearby farm fields.
When in doubt, blame the cows.
One of the comments is Boris was washing his Johnson in the water the day before. That's our number two story. Sorry, triathletes.
Yeah, that sucks.
This is definitely a number two.
What do you do going forward? Like, if you're going to run this race again.
Yeah.
Or if you're just, you know, if they're like, they took the sample 3 days before and they didn't notify anybody of the results of the sample, right? Seems slightly negligent on the part of the organizers or the sample takers, right?
Yeah, and like, it speaks volumes that they took samples before the race.
Well, they took it a month before and then they took it 3 days before.
Right.
And they went, wow, this is really high.
You think that
they
would.
Still let
ran the race.
Yeah, so there's that. But you think that they would always check the water quality before doing the event.
Yeah.
But it seems that they just take the water quality and then, like, don't care what the results are?
That's what it seems like, yeah.
We weren't even going to tell anybody it was 39% higher. But then these
39 times?
Oh, yeah, excuse me, 39 times. Yeah. 39 times. But then these 57 people got sick, so now we have to admit what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably, they're like, well, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. Again, market phenomenon, right? If these organizers are running another race and there's a lack of applicants to sign up to run, you might be able to look at their reputation score of how they've operated in the past and determine that maybe you don't want to race for these people.
Yeah.
Unless the prize money is, you know, worth drinking that much poop water.
I mean, it could also just be the British diet.
eats all those chips.
And you know, whatever they keep out on the windowsill that, you know, most Americans refrigerate. I don't know. They keep
all
eggs.
Yeah, eggs and
I keep my eggs out. What are you trying to say?
Do you get farm fresh eggs?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Oh, well, that's all right. Yeah, but they're talking.
I'm not going to eat grocery store eggs. Oh my gosh.
Well, okay,
it's ridiculous.
At least with eggs, right? Americans refrigerate their eggs, and Europeans don't refrigerate their eggs, and they both do it for the same reason.
And what's the reason?
Keeps the eggs fresher.
Yeah.
So which is it?
Good question.
Well, so the thing is. Once, if the eggs are unwashed, you can leave them out of the fridge for like a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Once you wash them, then they need to go into the fridge. I don't know what happens when you're rinsing them with water that makes them need to get refrigerated, but it's definitely a thing.
Interesting.
Yep. I also leave my butter on the countertop.
Oh, I do that too.
Well, you should only do that with salted butter. Unsalted
I only
butter.
Eat salted butter.
Yeah, you should not, like, unsalted butter will go bad, and you'll get what these guys got.
Well, I'm pretty sure I use unsalted butter that's been out on the counter. I don't know how long, but I use it quick enough.
Yeah, it's fine if you use it quick. Like, if you just let it out long enough to, like, soften up so you can spread it on your roll.
No, I mean, it stays on the counter, but throughout the week, I use enough of, like, the stick of butter where haven't been concerned.
Are you eating unsalted butter?
I'm pretty sure.
It's not salty? I mean, you'd know, right?
I mean, I'm pretty sure, when I buy the butter, like, I don't know what stick is there now.
Yeah.
But when I buy the butter, it's the unsalted ones, because you can always add salt.
Yeah.
To whatever you're making.
Right, but the difference is that the unsalted butter won't keep when left out, whereas the salted butter will.
I got it.
Because it's a dairy product, the unsalted butter will eventually rot, and when you eat it, you will get sick.
Right, and I have not experienced that to this point.
Yet.
Correct.
Right. Okay. I just know that's
also
a thing. I'm just trying, like, you know, I don't need
I appreciate
Rich,
the help.
You know, calling out on a Sunday. Oh, man, I ate some unsalted butter that was left out too long.
No.
Thank you to Richie Rich. Thank you to Nikki. Thank you to all of our callers, all of our listeners, and to our amplifiers, of course. If you missed any part of the show, find us over at freetalklive.com. Look for the archives. Thanks and peace.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked, there's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.